the master of all mystics. And wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. Hare Krishna. Continuing. Text 23. Matura dhurkaya nija rupa prakashya nana rupe bilase chaturvyuha haya. Lord Krishna manifests his own form in Mathura and Dwarka. He enjoys pastimes in various ways by expanding into the quadruple forms. Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Nirudha Sarva Chaturvyuha Angshi Turiya Vishudha. Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Anirudha are the primary quadruple forms from whom all other quadruple forms are manifested. They are all purely transcendental. Etina loke Krishna kevala lila mai nija gana loya kele ananta samai. Only these three places, Dwarka, Mathura, and Gokula, does the all-sporting Lord Krishna perform his endless pastimes with his personal associates. Parabhyoma madhye kari swarupa prakash Narayana rupe karina bibida bilash. In the Vaikuntha planets, in the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayan and performs pastimes in various ways. Swarup vigraha krishnera kebala dvij dvibhuj narayana rupe shetanu chaturbhuj shankha chakra gada padma maheshwarya maya Sri Bhu Nila Shakti Jara Charana Sebai. Krishna's own form has two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. Hare Krishna. The Sri Bhu and Nila energies serve his lotus feet. Purport. In the Ramanuja and Madhva sects of Vaishnavism, there are extensive descriptions of the Sri, Bhu, and Nila energies. In Bengal, the Nila energy is sometimes called the Lila energy. These three energies are employed in the service of four-handed Narayan and Vaikuntha. Relating how three of the Alwars, namely Bhuta Yogi, Sara Yogi, and Bhranta Yogi, saw Narayan in person when they took shelter at the house of a Brahmin in the village of Gihali. The Prapanamrita of Sri Sampradaya describes Narayan as follows. Tarksha diradhum tadit ambudhabdhim lakshmidharam vakshakshi padabjam hastadravye shubita shankha chakram vishnur dhadrishur bhagavantamadhyam ajanu bahum kamaya khatram parshva dvai shubita bhuminilam Pitambaram bhushana bhushitangam chaturbhujam chandana rushitangam. They saw the lotus-eyed Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mounted on Garuda and holding Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, to his chest. He resembled a bluish rain cloud with flashing lightning. In two of his four hands he held a conch shell and disc, his arms stretched to his knees. And all his beautiful limbs were smeared with sandalwood and decorated with glittering ornaments. He wore yellow clothes, and by either side stood his energies, Bhumi and Nila. There is the following reference to the Sri, Bhu, and Nila energies in the Sita Upanishad. Quote, Mahalakshmi, the supreme energy of the Lord, is experienced in different ways. She is divided into material and spiritual potencies. And in both features, she acts as the willing energy, creative energy, and the internal energy. The willing energy is again divided into three, namely Sri, Bhu, and Nila. Quoting from the revealed scriptures in his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita 4.6, Madhvacharya has stated that Mother Material Nature, which is conceived of as the illusory energy, Durga, has three divisions, namely Sri, Bhu, and Nila. She is the illusory energy for those who are weak in spiritual strength, because such energies are created energies of the Lord. Although such energy has no direct relationship with the unlimited, they are subordinate to the Lord because the Lord is the master of all energies. In his Bhagavat Sandarbha, text 23, Sri Jiva Goswami Prabhu states, quote, the Padma Purana refers to the eternally auspicious abode of Godhead, which is full of all opulences, including the energies Sri, Bhu, and Nila. The Maha Samhita, which discusses the transcendental name and form of Godhead, also mentions Durga as the potency of the Supersoul in relationship with the living entities. The internal potency acts in relation with his personal affairs, and the material potency manifests the three modes. Quoting elsewhere from the revealed scriptures, he states that Sri is the energy of Godhead that maintains the cosmic manifestation, Bhu is the energy that creates the cosmic manifestation, and Nila, Durga, is the energy that destroys the creation. All these energies act in relation with the living beings, and thus are together called Jiva Maya. Text 29. Yadyapi kevala tandra krida mantra dharm, tatapi jivera kripoya kari eka karm. Although his pastimes are his only characteristic functions, by his causeless mercy he performs one activity for the fallen souls. Salokya samipya sharshti sarupya prakar, chari mukti diyakari jivara nistar. He delivers the fallen living entities by offering them four kinds of liberation: salokya, samipya, sharshti, and sarupya. Purport: there are two kinds of liberated souls, those who are liberated by the favor of the Lord and those who are liberated by their own effort. One who gets liberation by his own effort is called an impersonalist, and he merges into the glaring effulgence of the Lord, the Brahma Jyoti. But devotees of the Lord who qualify themselves for liberation by devotional service are offered four kinds of liberation, namely salokya, status equal to that of the Lord, samipya, constant association with the Lord, sharshti, opulence equal to that of the Lord, and sarupya, features like that those of the Lord. Text 31. Brahma sayuja muktera taha nahi koti vaikunta bahiri hoi ta sabharastiti. Those who attain Brahma sayuja liberation cannot gain entrance into Vaikuntha. Their residence is outside the Vaikuntha planets. Vaikuntha bahireka jyotirmaya mandala krishnera angera prabha parama ujvala. Outside the Vaikuntha planets is the atmosphere of the glowing effulgence, which consists of the supremely bright rays of the body of Lord Krishna. Sitaloka nam tar prakritirapar chitswarup tandra nahi chich chakti vikar. That region is called Sitaloka, and it is beyond the material nature. Its essence is spiritual, but it does not have spiritual varieties. Surya Mandala Jaina Bahira Nirvishesh Bitari Suryera Rata Adi Savishesh. It is like the homogeneous effulgence around the sun, but inside the sun are the chariots, horses, and other opulences of the sun god. Purport: outside of Vaikuntha, the abode of Krishna, which is called Paravyoma, is the glaring effulgence of Krishna's bodily rays. This is called the Brahma Jyoti. The transcendental region of that effulgence is called Sitaloka or Brahmaloka. When impersonalists achieve liberation, they merge into that Brahmaloka effulgence. This transcendental region is undoubtedly spiritual, but it contains no manifestations of spiritual activities or variegatedness. It is compared to the glow of the sun. Within the sun's glow is the sphere of the sun, where one can experience all sorts of varieties. Text 55. Kama dveshas bayat snehad yata bhaktyesh vare manaha abesha tad agam hitva bahavas tad gatim gataha. As through devotion to the Lord, one can attain his abode, many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. As through devotion to the Lord, one can attain his abode, many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. Do you find that verse unusual? Want to hear it again? As through devotion to the Lord, one can attain his abode, many have attained that goal by abandoning their sinful activities and absorbing their minds in the Lord through lust, envy, fear, or affection. It's kind of like the last verse we sing in the Chintamani prayers, right? As the powerful sun, purport, by its glowing rays can purify all kinds of impurities, so the all-spiritual personality of Godhead can purify all material qualities in a person he attracts. Even if one is attracted by Godhead in the mode of material lust, such attraction is converted into spiritual love of Godhead by his grace. Similarly, if one is related to the Lord in fear and animosity, he also becomes purified by the spiritual attraction of the Lord. Although God is great and the living entity small, they are spiritual individuals, and therefore, as soon as there is a reciprocal exchange by the living entity's free will, at once the great spiritual being attracts the small living entity, thus freeing him from all material bondage. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 7.130. Can we have a look at that? I really like this purport, I got to admit it. Don't mind, but I'm going to read it again. Okay? What's your name? Hare Krishna Raju. Did we meet? Is your first time here?
No, I used to come.
Oh, I thought I recognized you. Nice to see you, Raju. Hare Krishna.
I was in the Sydney temple.
Sydney? Maybe that's where I saw you.
No, between 93 to 2000.
I was there in 1989, right? 87? Boy, time flies. Achha. Yeah, Devamrita Swami.
And I used to send, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I used to send you emails.
Yeah. It's good to see you again. Hare Krishna. Are you going to stay this time?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Very nice. Hare Krishna. This is 7:130. Pretty close, just off by a multiple of 10. Kamad dveshad bhayad snehad yata bhakteshvare manaha avesha tad agam hitva bahavas tad gatim gata. Big verse, huh? Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti. But Saudi Moha Guru Gauriva Savya Bhavai. Purport. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vikriditam Vrajavadurbi Idamcha Vishnu, Shadhan Vito Nashinuryad Atavarna Yedya, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabdya Kamam, Hrid Rogam Ashva Pahinot Yacharena Tira. If a bona fide listener hears of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, which seem to be lusty affairs, the lusty desires in his heart, which constitute the heart disease of the conditioned soul, will be vanquished, and he will become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. If one who hears the gopis' lusty behavior with Krishna become free from lusty desires, certainly the gopis who approached Krishna become free from all such desires. Similarly, Shishupal and others who were very much envious of Krishna and who constantly thought of Krishna became free from envy. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because of affection. When the mind is somehow or other fully absorbed in Krishna, the material part is very soon vanquished, and the spiritual part, attraction to Krishna, becomes manifest. This indirectly confirms that if one thinks of Krishna enviously, simply because of thinking of Krishna, he becomes free from all sinful reactions and thus becomes a pure devotee. Examples of this are given in the following verse. Nice, huh? Text number 36. Yad arinam parinam cha prapyam ekam ivoditam tad brahma krishnayor aikyat. Hare Krishna. Kirnar Kop Pama Chishu Kirna Kiranar Kopana Puma Jusha Jashu Yad Arinam Priyanam Cha Prapyam Ekam Ivoditam Tad Brahma Krishnarior Aikyat Kiranar Kop Pama Jusho. Where it has been stated that the Lord's enemies and devotees attain the same destination, this refers to the ultimate oneness of Brahman and Lord Krishna. This may be understood by the analogy of the sun and the sunshine, in which Brahman is like the sunshine and Krishna himself is like the sun. Purport. This verse is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.278, of Srila Rupa Goswami, Hari'i, who further discusses the same topic in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Purva 5.41. There he refers to the Vishnu Purana, 4.15.1, where Maitreya Muni asked Parashara in regard to Jai and Vijay how it was that Hiranyakashipu next became Ravana, enjoyed more material happiness than the demigods, but did not attain salvation. Although when he became Shishupal, quarreled with Krishna, and was killed, he attained salvation and emerged into the body of Krishna. Parashara replied that Hiranyakashipu failed to recognize Lord Nrisingadeva as Lord Vishnu. He thought that Nrisingadeva was some living entity who had acquired such opulence by various pious activities. Being overcome by the mode of passion, he considered Lord Nrisingadeva an ordinary living entity, not understanding his form. Nevertheless, because Hiranyakashipu was killed by the hands of Lord Nrisingadeva, in his next life he became Ravana and had proprietorship of unlimited opulence. As Ravana, with unlimited material enjoyment, he could not accept Lord Rama as the personality of Godhead. Therefore, even though he was killed by Rama, he did not attain Sayuja, or oneness with the body of the Lord. In his Ravana body, he was too much attracted to Rama's wife, Janaki, and because of that attraction, he was able to see Lord Rama. But instead of accepting Lord Rama as an incarnation of Vishnu, Ravana thought him an ordinary living being. When killed by the hands of Rama, therefore, he got the privilege of taking birth as Shishupal, who had such immense opulence that he could think himself a competitor to Krishna. Although Shishupal was always envious of Krishna, he frequently uttered the name of Krishna and always thought of the beautiful features of Krishna. Thus, by constantly thinking and chanting of Krishna, even unfavorably, he was cleansed of the contamination of his sinful activities. When Shishupal was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra of Krishna as an enemy, his constant remembrance of Krishna dissolved the reactions of his vices, and he attained salvation by becoming one with the body of the Lord. From this incident, one can understand that even a person who thinks of Krishna as an enemy and is killed by him may be liberated by becoming one with the body of Krishna. What then must be the destination of devotees who always think favorably of Krishna as their master or friend? These devotees must attain a situation better than Brahmaloka, the impersonal bodily effulgence of Krishna. Devotees cannot be situated in the impersonal Brahman effulgence, into which impersonalists desire to merge. The devotees are placed in Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka. This discussion between Maitreya Muni and Parashara Muni centered on whether devotees come down into the material world in every millennium like Jai and Vijay, who were cursed by the Kumaras to that effect. In the course of these instructions to Maitreya about Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Shishupal, Parashara did not say that these demons were formerly Jai and Vijay. He simply described the transmigration through three lives. It is not necessary for the Vaikuntha associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to come to take the roles of his enemies in all the millenniums in which he appears. The quote-unquote fall down of Jai and Vijay occurred in a particular millennium. Jai and Vijay do not come down in every millennium to act as demons. To think that some associates of the Lord fall down from Vaikuntha in every millennium to become demons is totally incorrect. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the tendencies that may be found in the living entity, for he is the chief living entity. Therefore, it is natural that sometimes Lord Vishnu wants to fight. Just as he has the tendencies to create, to enjoy, to be a friend, to accept a mother and father and so on, he also has the tendency to fight. Sometimes important landlords and kings keep wrestlers with whom they practice mock fighting, and Vishnu makes similar arrangements. The demons who fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the material world are sometimes his associates. When there is a scarcity of demons and the Lord wants to fight, he instigates some of his associates of Vaikuntha to come and play as demons. When it is said that Shishupal merged into the body of Krishna, it should be noted that in this case, he was not Jai or Vijay, he was actually a demon. Mystery solved. In his Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami has explained that the attainment of salvation by merging into the Brahman effulgence of the Lord cannot be accepted as the highest success in life, because demons like Kamsa, who were famous for killing Brahmins and cows, attained that salvation. For devotees, such salvation is abominable. Devotees are actually in a transcendental position, whereas non-devotees are candidates for hellish conditions of life. There is always a difference between the life of a devotee and the life of a demon, and their realizations are as different as heaven and hell. Demons are always accustomed to being malicious toward devotees and to killing Brahmins and cows. For demons, merging into the Brahman effulgence may be very glorious, but for devotees it is hellish. A devotee's aim in life is to attain perfection in loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who aspire to merge into the Brahman effulgence are as abominable as demons. Devotees who aspire to associate with the Supreme Lord to render him transcendental loving service are far superior. Continuing in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 5, The Glories of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Taiche parabhyome nana chit shakti bilash nirvishesha jyotirbhimba bahira prakash. Thus in the spiritual sky there are varieties of pastimes within the spiritual energy. Outside the Vaikuntha planets appears the impersonal reflection of life, light. Nirvishesha brahmashe kevala jyotirmai sayujyera adhikari taha payaloi. That impersonal Brahman effulgence consists only of the effulgent rays of the Lord. Those fit for Sayuja liberation merge into that effulgence. Siddha loka tu tamasa pariyatra visantihi siddha brahma suke bhagna daityascha harina hataha. Beyond the region of ignorance, the material cosmic manifestation, lies the realm of siddha loka. The siddhas reside there, absorbed in the bliss of Brahman. Demons killed by the Lord also attain that realm. Purport. Tamas means darkness. The material world is dark, and beyond the material world is light. In other words, after passing through the entire material atmosphere, one can come to the luminous spiritual sky, whose impersonal effulgence is known as Siddha Loka. Mayavadi philosophers who aspire to merge with the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as demoniac persons who are killed by Krishna, such as Kamsa and Shishupal, enter the Brahman effulgence. Yogis who attain oneness through meditation, according to the Patanjali Yoga system, also reach Siddha Loka. This is a verse from the Brahmanda Purana. She parabhyomi narayanera charipashe dvakaraka chaturvyuhera dvitiya prakashe. In that spiritual sky on the four sides of Narayan are the second expansions of the quadruple expansions of Dwarka. Purport. Within the spiritual sky is a second manifestation of the quadruple forms of Dwarka from the abode of Krishna. Among these forms, which are all spiritual and immune to the material modes, Sri Baladev is represented as Mahasankarshan. The activities in the spiritual sky are manifested by the internal potency and pure spiritual existence. They expand in six transcendental opulences, which are all manifestations of Mahasankarshan, who is the ultimate reservoir and objective of all living entities. Although belonging to the marginal potency known as Jiva Shakti, the spiritual sparks known as the living entities are subjected to the conditions of material energy. It is because these sparks are related with both the internal and external potencies of the Lord that they are known as belonging to the marginal potency. In considering the quadruple forms of the Absolute Personality of Godhead, known as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Ananiruddha, the impersonalists headed by Sripad Shankaracharya have interpreted the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra in a way suitable for the impersonalist school. To provide the intrinsic import of such aphorisms, however, Srila Rupa Goswami, the leader of the Six Goswamis of Vrindavan, has properly replied to the impersonalist in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which is a natural commentary on the aphorisms of the Vedanta Sutra. The Padma Purana, as quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, describes that in the spiritual sky there are four directions corresponding to east, west, north, and south, in which Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna are situated. The same forms are also situated in the material sky. In the Padma Purana, the Padma Purana also describes a place in the spiritual sky known as Vedavatipur, where Vasudev resides. In Vishnu Loka, which is above Satyaloka, Sankarsana resides. Mahasankarsan is another name of Sankarsan. Pradyumna lives in Dwarkapura, and Aniruddha lives on the eternal bed of Shesha, generally known as Ananta Shaya, an island on the island called Shvetadvip in the ocean of milk. Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Aniruddha Dvitiya Chaturvyuha E Turiya Vishuddha. Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha constitute the second quadruple. They are purely transcendental. One, two, four, six, eight, 10, 12, 14, 15 page purport. Sripad Shankaracharya has misleadingly explained the quadruple form Chaturvyuha in his interpretation of the 42nd aphorism of chapter 2 of the second kanda of the Vedanta Sutra, Utpatiya Sambhavat, in verses 41 through 47 of this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami answers Sripad Shankaracharya's misleading objections to the personal feature of the Absolute Truth. The Supreme Personality of God of the Absolute Truth is not like a material object that can be known by experimental knowledge or sense perception. In the Narada Pancharatra, this fact has been explained by Narayan himself to Lord Shiva. But Shankaracharya, the incarnation of Shiva, under the order of Narayan, his master, had to mislead the monists who favor ultimate extinction. In the conditioned stage of existence, all living entities have four basic defects, of which one is the cheating propensity. Shankaracharya has carried this cheating propensity to the extreme to mislead the monists. Actually, the explanation of the quadruple forms in the Vedic literature cannot be understood by the speculation of a conditioned soul. The quadruple forms should therefore be accepted just as they are described. The authority of the Vedas is such that even if one does not understand something by his limited perception, he should accept the Vedic injunction and not create interpretations to suit his imperfect understanding. In his Sharirakbhashya, however, Shankaracharya has increased the misunderstanding of the monists. The quadruple forms have a spiritual existence that can be realized in Vasudev Sattva, Shuddha Sattva, or unqualified goodness, which accompanies complete absorption in the understanding of Vasudev. The quadruple forms, who are full in the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are the enjoyers of the internal potency. Thinking the Absolute Personality of Godhead to be poverty-stricken or to have no potency, or, in other words, to be impotent, is simply rascaldom. This rascaldom is the profession of the conditioned soul, and it increases his bewilderment. What is the profession of the conditioned soul? It's the rascaldom of thinking that Krishna has no form or that it's impotent. That's their profession. This rascaldom is the profession of the conditioned soul, and it increases his bewilderment. What's your profession? Rascaldom. One who cannot understand the distinctions between the spiritual world and the material world has no qualification to examine or know the situation of the transcendental quadruple forms. In his commentary on Vedanta Sutra 2.2.42-45, His Holiness Sripad Shankaracharya has made a futile attempt to nullify the existence of these quadruple forms in the spiritual world. Shankaracharya says in Sutra 42, the devotees think the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, to be one, to be free from material qualities, and to have a transcendental body full of bliss and eternal existence. He is the ultimate goal of the devotees, who believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself into four other eternal transcendental forms, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. From Vasudeva, who is the primary expansion, comes Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha in that order. Another name of Vasudeva is Paramatma. Another name of Sankarshan is Jiva, the living entity. Another name of Pradyumna is mind. And another name of Aniruddha is Ahankar, false ego. Among these expansions, Vasudeva is considered the origin of the material nature. Therefore, Sankaracharya says that Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha must be creations of that original cause. Great souls assert that Narayan, who is known as the Paramatma or Supersoul, is beyond material nature, and this is in accordance with the statements of the Vedic literature. Mayavadis also agree that Narayan can expand himself in various forms. Shankara says that he does not attempt to argue that portion of the devotee's understanding, but he must protest the idea that Sankarshan is produced from Vasudeva, Pradyumna is produced from Sankarshan, and Aniruddha is produced from Pradyumna. For if Sankarshan is understood to represent the living entities created from the body of Vasudeva, the living entities would have to be non-eternal. The living entities are supposed to be freed from material contamination by engaging in prolonged temple worship of the Supreme Personality of God and reading Vedic literature and performing yoga and pious activities to attain the Supreme Lord. But if the living entities had been created from material nature at a certain point, they would be non-eternal and would have no chance to be liberated and associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a cause is nullified, its results are nullified. In the second chapter of the Vedanta Sutras, second khanda, Acharya Vedavyas has also refuted the conception that the living beings were ever born. Natma shruter nityatvachcha tabhyaha. Because there is no creation for the living entities, they must be eternal. Shankaracharya says in Sutra 43 that devotees think that Pradyumna, who is considered to represent the senses, has sprung from Sankarshana, who is considered to represent the living entities. But we cannot actually experience that a person can produce the senses. Devotees also say that from Pradyumna has sprung Aniruddha, who is considered to represent the ego. Are you going? When are you coming back? All right, we'll be counting the days. We meet here again on Wednesday.
Sure.
Can you come?
Yes.
Okay. Have a safe trip.
Thank
Good
you.
To see you. And
Thank
congratulations.
You. Thanks a lot.
Hare Krishna. But Shankaracharya says that unless the devotees can show how ego and the means of knowledge can generate from a person, such an explanation of the Vedanta Sutras cannot be accepted, for no other philosophers can accept the sutras in that way. Shankaracharya also says that he cannot accept the devotee's idea that Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are equally as powerful as the Absolute Personality of Godhead, full in the six opulences of knowledge, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation, and free from the flaw of generation at a certain point. Even if they are full expansions, the flaw of generation remains. Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, being distinct individual persons, cannot be one. Therefore, if they are accepted as absolute, full and equal, there would have been too many personalities of Godhead. But there is no need to accept that there are many personalities of Godhead, because acceptance of one omnipotent God is sufficient for all purposes. The acceptance of more than one God is contradictory to the conclusion that Lord Vasudeva, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is one without a second. Even if we agree to accept that the quadruple forms of Godhead are all identical, we cannot avoid the incongruous flaw of non-eternity. Unless we accept that there are some differences among the personalities, there's no meaning to the idea that Sankarshan is an expansion of Vasudeva, Pradyumna is an expansion of Sankarshan, and Aniruddha is an expansion of Pradyumna. There must be a distinction between cause and effect. For example, a pot is distinct from the earth, earth from which it is made, and therefore we can ascertain that the earth is the cause and the pot is the effect. Without such distinctions, there is no meaning to cause and effect. Furthermore, the followers of the Pancharatrik principles do not accept any differences in knowledge and qualities between Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Hare Krishna. The devotees accept all these expansions to be one, but why should they restrict oneness to these quadruple expansions? Certainly we should not do so, for all living entities from Brahma to the insignificant ant are expansions of Vasudeva, as accepted in all the Shrutis and Smritis. Vasudeva's everything, in other words? Yes? Can you prove it? Shastra, Praman. Thank you. Sankaracharya says also in Sutra 45 that the devotees who follow the Pancharatra state that God's qualities and God himself as the owner of the qualities are the same. But how can the Bhagavat school state that six opulences, wisdom, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and renunciation, are identical with Lord Vasudeva? This is impossible. In his Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Srila Rupa Goswami has refuted the charges directed against the devotees by Sripad Shankaracharya regarding their explanation of the quadruple forms Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Rupa Goswami says that these four expansions of Narayan are present in the spiritual sky, where they are famous as Mahavasta. Among them, Vasudeva is worshipped within the heart by meditation because he is the predominating deity of the heart, as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, can you grab a...